Welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and all the wonderful interminglings therein. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me as always is my friend and co-host Matt Prince. Matt, how are you on this fine July day?
I'm doing pretty good, Jeff. We're working our way through the week, getting closer and closer to the 4th of July. You know, when people listen to this, it'll already have passed, but we're not quite there yet. And I'm getting excited because I'm going to be hanging out with you on the 4th of July, socially distanced, of course, but we're being joined by a couple of our other friends who have a shared mutual interest of craft beer with us. So it's going to be a very, very fun holiday, but a very responsible holiday at that.
Matt, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you get your hands on one of those shirts from Two Locals Brewing Company?
No, and it wasn't for lack of trying. You know, I meant to get it right away, but, you know, life with a one-year-old, you know, things get away from you. And then when I finally sat down on my computer, well, on my phone, let's be real, to make the purchase, they were all sold out, which is great because that means money is coming into that brewery and people are going to be wearing that shirt and wearing it around the city, hopefully. And, you know, hopefully that starts a conversation. Oh, I've never heard of that brewery. And, you know, you hear, oh, well, they're not quite open yet, but you can help them. And then that's how these things get started. So hopefully a lot of people wear that shirt, and hopefully there'll be a second run of the shirt soon so I can get my hands on one and wear it as many times as I possibly can.
Also, hopefully, you know, they might have interesting news to share soon, and they might come back and share it with us. They were terrific guests. And Matt, you have found for us another guest for today.
Yes, you know, I can't really take that much credit for this because it was actually one of my best friends, Adam, who brought this person to me. Her name is Sarah Erdlin, and she is someone I am so excited to talk to. And the reason why we're having her on here is because she is one of only 15 certified Cicerones in the state of Nebraska, which is really cool. I mean, it didn't matter. I don't care what state you're from. That's just such a cool thing. What a cool certification to have. And I've never actually spoken to anyone who has that certification that I know of.
I was on the verge of starting to take classes to become a certified beer judge before all this pandemic went down. The Homebrew Club was going to offer some classes with some people who have been through it. Some of our members have been through it. And it sort of teaches you what to look for. But, you know, that's just certified beer judge. Beyond that, Cicerone is just, you know, a life dream maybe for me. So I'm really, really, really excited to talk to Sarah and see what the process is like, when she decided to do it, et cetera. So let's just, without further ado, bring her on. Sarah Erdlin, welcome to Take a Shelfie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So one of the questions that we ask all our guests and we ask each other is, what got you into craft beer? What were some of the early beers that sort of caught your attention and made you think that beer was something more than what it is?
That kind of starts for me at Penn State, where I went to college. I always was a little bit snotty. I still am kind of snotty. So while all of my friends were drinking Miller Lights and Natty Lights, I was like, ugh, poo-poo. I'm going to drink Yingling.
the craft beer of Pennsylvania.
Right, and I certainly don't drink them anymore. But in college, so I started drinking Yingling because I thought that was like the fancy choice, which to some extent true, you know, in the Penn State drinking scene. But then I, of course, thought myself very, like, cultured because of that. And thankfully, meeting my now husband there, he was lucky enough to have a salaried position while he was at Penn State as a student, because he's a non-traditional student, which meant that when he was courting me, I got to drink lots of fancy beers at Zeno's in State College, which is still a place near and dear to my heart. They had super knowledgeable staff, and we spent a lot of time drinking our way through their menus and getting to know stuff and going to bottle shops and picking out cool things. Left my own devices and my own budget, I felt so mature and so adult as a 22-year-old buying Sam Adams Cherry Wheat. to just have with my dinner, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to be some plebeian drinking my face off every night. I was going to have a beer with my meal, like a grown up. And to be honest, like, I can't remember the last time I had a Sam Adams cherry wheat, but I enjoy it every time because of that association. I'm just like, oh man, this is good.
At what point, as you were, you know, trying all these different beers, did you start to pick up on differences between them and then decide, oh, I want to study that more and become a beer expert?
I picked up differences pretty much right away. I did not like IPAs off the bat. That's, I'm totally drinking an IPA now. So my taste changed like everyone's does. I fell in love with stouts right off the bat. I fell in love with coffee stouts in particular, like the kind of thick, rich beers you just want to take a bath in. Like that was my first love. So getting to know what I wanted, how to order off a menu, what I was looking for, you know, those came with practice and with ordering and with, you know, someone else picking up my tab so that we could just order several, you know, and a date who really wanted to impress me by paying for it. Like, yeah, sure, it's great. And then once we moved out to Lincoln, you know, we found our local spots where we wanted to go drink and got to know people behind the bar. And I've had a dozen or more jobs since moving out here eight or 9 years ago. So I was always kind of keeping an ear out for part-time bartending positions because I thought that'd be like super cool. And someone reached out to me, like I submitted a resume at my favorite beer place. That person moved from that bar to a brewery in town, kept my resume. He turned it out fine. He's a good friend now, but got in touch with me about tap tending at the brewery. And, you know, it was really helpful to already kind of have an idea of what I liked and didn't like. But being around the brewery and finding out where those flavors came from and how they presented themselves a little more in depth for the beers that we served and made there was really fun. I really liked that. And I love being a know-it-all so much. So I looked around and saw that the people that I really admired had a lot of knowledge. And I was like, well, I can do that. I can take a test. So honestly, the person who got me starting to work in craft beer was a certified Cicerone himself. And so he was really open and generous with his knowledge and encouraged me and encouraged, you know, anyone who was interested or expressed interest to start studying and helped us along with that. So that was really cool. But yeah, it was totally of like, well, I want a certificate. I want the gold star behind my name at that point in time when I first got it. Yeah.
So what is that studying process like? And what was the testing process like for you?
So the Cicerone organization, which you can, everyone can find online, has four levels of certification. The lowest is certified beer server. Then the second is certified Cicerone, which is what I am. The third is advanced Cicerone. And the fourth is master Cicerone. And I think there are like maybe a dozen master Cicerones in the entire world. It's like ridiculously difficult. The certified beer server exam is all online. Honestly, I recommend that to anybody working in the beer industry. I see it becoming an industry standard, really. Like that's what I've already seen here in Lincoln. I imagine it's the same in a lot of places. It costs $69. Your employer should 100% reimburse you. Like they just should morally. but for $69, you get two tries to take an online test. It's all multiple choice, but there's a syllabus published that you can review. And for the certified beer server, I was working in the industry for well over a year at a brewery when I took that test and it was a breeze. I have trained staff to take the test over the course of 4 hours of training, over the course of 4 hours of study with me to train people who are already enthusiasts. they've all passed very easily. So that one is a pretty nice bar that I think is fairly accessible for a lot of people. The Certified Cicerone exam is an in-person exam. Of course, right now they are adapting. I think right now they're allowing the written portion to be taken remotely. But the sit-down exam is 4 hours. 3 hours of that is writing, and it's not multiple choice. It is short answer, fill in the blank, true, false, numbers, and then at least 4 essays. So you do all that writing. You answer one question orally on video, and then there is a tasting portion. On the tasting portion, they are looking for you to identify off flavors in comparison to a given control. They are looking for you to distinguish between two styles of beer. Basically, they give you a sample and go, is it this or that? And then they ask you, is this beer good enough to serve? Why or why not? So that is probably, for me, it was like a year and a half of study, pretty dedicated. I read cover to cover, pretty much, Randy Mosher's Tasting Beer, which is a book I recommend. Even if you're not trying to study, it's highly readable. I think his writing style is clear and casual. It does not read like a textbook, which is great. What does read like a textbook is the Brewers Association Draft Maintenance Manual. Also read that one. But there's a lot of memorization of statistics. You need to know IBUs, International Bittering Units, mm-hmm. for every beer, the range that's acceptable for every style within 5. You need to know the ABV, the range of percentages that's acceptable within 0.1% for every style. And you need to know the SRM, standard reference method, which is a measurement of color. You need to know that for every beer. I think within a range of 1 for that, 1 or 2. Yeah, so that was what tripped me up the first time around. I was like, I can write these essays, but like, I don't know that I can like just regurgitate these numbers as easily. So lots of flashcards, and then lots of beer tasting too.
Darn.
Which like, oh, darn. Sure. But it does, I mean, to be fair, probably the biggest barrier there is cost.
Like, yeah.
You know, you're just buying tons of beer, which you're doing it anyway, awesome. But it could certainly start to add up for sure.
So Sarah, you know, I'm really interested to know, because you've spent so much time with beer and had, I assume, way more than I have, just because of your, you know, the jobs you've had. What's the best beer that you've ever had? And then a kind of follow up, and what's your favorite beer? And unless they're the same beer, you can answer once, but.
This is a great question. And I'm gonna only half answer it for you. I am not a beer chaser terribly much. Like, I don't go looking for the next coolest thing or the most highly rated thing. It's not my jam. I like the beer that's in front of me. And I like looking for local stuff. I like finding just like crowd favorites. Not to say that I don't ever drink something more special occasion. But one of the best questions I ever got from like an educational event I put on was like, what beer should everyone drink? Which, you know, a similar question. And to me, the best beer to drink is the one you like. Like, what don't, I mean, I had to drink so many different kinds of beer to study, and I had to drink so many different beers at my job. It can't become work. And it's so nice to just drink something just because you like it. Like, it don't depend on other people to tell you what's great or not great. You know, I drink IPAs now, and that is 100% because at one point in time, probably 6-ish years ago now, we were on a tight budget. We brought a bunch of beer back to Nebraska with us after a visit to Pennsylvania. We drank our way through them very quickly, except that Patrick was not drinking as much because of his school. And so the very last thing that we had was a case of Perpetual IPA from Trogs, which amazing. Like, it's an amazing beer. But we were like, oh my God, I'm not buying beer. You know, we were really watching our money at that point, because he was on a grad school stipend and I was on like underemployed. So I'm like, we're not buying more beer until we get through what we have. We're not buying more alcohol. And finally, after a couple of weeks of like watching this, like I'm drinking them. And by the time we finished that case, I really liked IPAs.
For our listeners, I just want to throw this out there. We did not bring up Trogs. We always bring up Trogs, and we said we were going to not bring up Trogs as much, but our guests brought up Trogs.
We kept our promise. The person who lives in Nebraska brought up Trogs, yes. Not us.
Yes. Absolutely. Sarah from Nebraska
brought
up Trogs. Just throwing that out there. So Trogs.
Drink their Java Head. Drink their, I mean.
Yeah.
Drink Java Head.
Drink everything they make.
So best beer I've had, gosh, I don't really use Untappd. You know, I had a friend invite me way back when they first started, and I was like, who needs another social media thing? And then like a couple of years later, I was like, that might be nice for reference, but I don't really use it. So I don't know. And, you know, I've Marie Kondo'd my house enough that I've gotten rid of a lot of the empty bottles that I've had sitting around. What I look for, if I'm drinking something like fancy and awesome, I look for aged barley wines, not necessarily barrel aged sometimes, as long as it's a mellow barrel age. I look for quads. Belgian quads are super fancy. I love a lot of things with chocolate in them. I love a lot of things with coffee in them. I love barrel aged stouts, but I really like kind of pared down ingredients of like one or two additions for a big stout, which I love drinking, but I'm the only person in the house who drinks them. So I have to be like really prepared to finish it, something big like that by myself, which is not all the time. I don't drink as many Belgians as I used to. That's kind of a thing I've been thinking about. Like, oh, I really kind of get to start bringing more of those because I like darker maltier Belgian styles, but the bar I worked at just, they didn't move very quickly, so my boss didn't buy them very much, and so I was just sad about it. So that's, there you go. I don't keep track of like the one beer. I like to follow breweries that I know I've always liked their stuff, breweries that are really consistent. You know, I try to make sure I know who to look for when I'm out looking for beer. But yeah.
You mentioned Untappd, and I wanted to hear, Matt and I both use it for the reference especially, but what is your thought on those rating services, especially in comparison to like the scrutiny that you bring to tasting a beer? Do you think that anyone can truly get a reliable sense of the characteristics of the beer from something like those services?
I mean, it's helpful for a brewery to understand what's popular or not, to understand like whether their customers are, you know, picking up what they're laying down. I think in aggregate, it's like any review on any website for anything. Like if you're looking at reviews of books, you're gonna find someone who's like A Tale of Two Cities, boring. Like, and it's kind of looking at, to me, what's helpful is getting an overall picture. If there's enough reviews, like if there's three reviews, that's not gonna really give you a well-rounded picture, but it's like any other review site. How many reviews are you looking for? Where are the percentages falling? Are people generally picking up the same thing or not? Because some people will just be like, alcohol, love it. And some people will, like I have heard from talking to people at bars, for, you know, 5 years, the vast differences in ratings that are, I know people who will never, ever, ever give something lower than a 3 because they just think it's rude. I've had people who will never, ever, ever give anything higher than a 4 because, well, you know, perfection is just divine, not huge. You know, perfection is so out of reach. Like, there might be one beer in their entire lifetime that ever gets a 5 or something. So like the stars don't mean much. There's no rubric. It's just like if you're looking at any other review site, right? Like, you got to dig in a little bit and use some critical thinking skills. So, like, I think it can be helpful if you don't have anyone else to explain things to you. I think it might be more helpful to get a sense of whether a brewery is reliable or not, whether you generally think they're putting out quality products, and to get a sense of what words and descriptors of beer are most helpful to you to find what you like. That's honestly what I love talking to people about, and why service worked for me for a while at least. And why I really love educating beginners is, like, I want you and anyone to look at a menu and understand what's being sold to them, right? Because I want you to find, I don't want you to just find something to drink. I want you to find, like, something awesome that you're going to really enjoy. And to do that, you need to understand some of the jargon. You need to understand some of the styles. You need people to stop calling fruit beers milkshake IPAs, because that is the hill I will die on.
Getting a little bit more into the life of the Cicerone, how common or uncommon is it for a woman to be a Cicerone? Is it, in line with the beer industry representation-wise?
Probably. I don't know what the breakdown is nationally or worldwide, because Cicerone organization keeps expanding or working on expanding the languages that they offer the test in.
That's cool.
Yeah, which is great. In Nebraska, there are 17 certified Cicerones in the state. I double checked. So anyone can go on Cicerone.org and find Cicerones in their state. They have a directory there. And if you opt to be part of the directory, you can search by country, you can search by state, and you can filter for anybody who's taken any level. You can look for the certified beer servers. You can look for certified Cicerone specifically, you know, at the advanced, the master. You can filter through all those qualifications. So you can find the people. If the person chooses to share it, it'll have their workplace listed too. Most of the Cicerones listed in Nebraska work for distributors. But, I mean, if I'm looking at names, there's not really a good indicator. I mean, they don't list, thank goodness, they don't list sex or gender. I have never met a female Cicerone in Nebraska. I know that they are around because the Cicerone organization consistently highlights, their membership and people who have taken the exams. They consistently highlight those folks in their newsletter and social media and all that. So they're out there. I don't know numbers-wise what it is. I do know, at least from my experience, and I've seen it echoed in a lot of the profiles that they've done, is that to some extent, women are drawn to the exam for the same reason any other gender is, that they want to know more and learn more and study. I personally think that women are probably socialized to be box checkers and achievement getters and study hard and test takers. And I think that it is very common that women constantly have to prove themselves and prove that they know beer. You can be standing behind a bar, give a customer a complete rundown of 18 taps, and then the next person who walks up will be like, but are you more of a wine drinker? Do you really even like beer?
Here's a piece of paper that shows you I know what I'm talking about.
Right? Exactly. And that's why I have it. I'm just like, and here you go.
So let's talk about another group that you are very active with. Can you tell us a little bit about the Pink Boot Society?
Yeah. So we have an amazing leader here in Nebraska, Megan Arrington Williams at First Street Brewing Company in Hastings. Hastings, Nebraska is 2.5 hours west of Lincoln. So they're definitely more rural than we are, much, much smaller, but certainly not the ruralest in Nebraska. But First Street is a great company, and Megan has been fantastic at really spearheading getting a Pink Boots chapter started in Nebraska. So the Pink Boots Society is a professional organization for women who work in the craft beer industry in any capacity, whether you're doing marketing, distributing, if you're being a sales rep, if you are working at a brewery, a bar, a bottle shop, doesn't matter. They're asking that if you get at least a quarter of your income from the craft beer industry, then you're eligible to join. It's a dues-paying organization, and they really try to push hard on education, of getting people scholarships and just pushing for more opportunities for women to kind of become even more and more, I hate to say qualified, but like to continue to develop themselves and push forward and to kind of break down some of the knowledge barriers that exist in the industry. They try to have at least they try to keep it to like one chapter per state, but obviously in very populous states, there's multiple chapters. But yeah, they really push hard on that. I have to say that like, it is a lot of work to get a chapter started. you know, I really have to credit Megan with the amount of work that she takes on because she gets it done far more than I do. But what's really nice is that, you know, people can rely on each other and have like a network to be plugged into. As much as I think they do amazing work and I'm happy to support them and be part of the organization, I also think that like the issue of female representation in beer is not a female problem. It's a dude problem. So I would love to see more brewers who are not female identified to look to Pink Boots as a source for really qualified applicants for education and partnerships and collaboration, because Pink Boots is there and making it possible. We do a collaboration brew day every single year on Women's Day on March 8th. They do a big push for collaboration brews across the country as a big fundraiser for the organization. And that is super cool. We did that here in Nebraska, and our beer is called Fruit of the Zoom because we brewed it, and by the like, it was ready, and like a week later, nobody could go out drinking, or at least like, yeah, nobody could go stay in a bar somewhere. So it is a wheat ale with guava. Really tasty. Made with a proprietary hop blend. So Pink Boots works with Yakima hops to create a proprietary blend. They do that at GABF every year in Colorado, that they have people come and help put the blend together and vote on it and, you know, take a big sniff of hops and see what's best. So you use that hop blend and you can make whatever style you want. It doesn't matter. And then try and distribute it and get it out to people. So that's pretty cool. But like, it'd be even cooler if breweries would like pay for their female employees to have memberships and to really value that professional development and that connection and to like go looking for it. I find that most breweries are really enthused if you bring it to them and be like, hey, look, women who know stuff. They're like, yeah, sure, sounds great. But they're not Googling women who know stuff. They're not like, women who know stuff in my area. Like, so that would be like the next step for them to be a little more proactive of actually looking for women, looking for Black women. Because if you're just making your tap room like cool for white women, then you're not really making it cool for every woman.
That's such a great point, because as in so many cases, the responsibility should not be with the oppressed or the ignored. It should be with people who are doing the ignoring. And you would be surprised how easy it is to just not ignore them, to just go looking for them and give them a space.
Yeah, to just go Google it. You know, it's super easy on Instagram. You can search the hashtag, like, Black Women Love Beer, and find plenty of accounts to follow. You can search the hashtag Black Girls Drink Beer 2 and find plenty of accounts to follow. Yeah, it's really awesome. The Brewers Association has J. Nicole Beckham, Dr. J, as their like diversity and inclusion specialist. And Dr. J does amazing work of her own right. Bringing so much quality and tons of knowledge. Like, what a leader. If you look at Crowns and Hops, one of their co-founders, Betty Ashburn, like another just like slam dunk businesswoman who knows and loves her beer. They're out there. It's not that hard. They have like thousands of followers, tens of thousands of followers. So it's not like this tiny little niche.
So let's imagine that this whole pandemic nonsense is over and you can work again in the beer industry. Do you have a dream job within the beer industry?
Honestly, I think my return to beer would probably be in education and events. I loved bartending when I started, and it's like, I know some folks who like super love bartending, and more power to them. Bartending is a very demanding job. It is extremely physical and requires tons of emotional work. Like, even on just like, everybody is chill, everything is fine, it's tons of emotional work because you're talking to people all day, all night. But I really love teaching people about beer. I love hosting tastings. And it's not, like I said, it's not because I want you to drink like this one amazing beer. I want to show people how to find their own favorite beer. Like, that's what I want to do. I, especially as I get older, my relationship to alcohol changes because my body processes alcohol differently. And so I want to know, like, if I can only have one beer before I fall asleep, then I want to pick like what I really want. Like, I don't want to pick something that I'm not really into. So how do I do that? Like, how do you, I love teaching people how to determine styles. I love teaching people the beer jargon and how to read beer descriptions. And I love teaching people like how to really take their time and taste a beer and sink into that experience. So I see myself doing a lot more education that way. I love writing beer descriptions. If anyone would just like hire me to write beer descriptions, but that usually comes with like a slew of other marketing duties, and writing posts on Facebook is just not that fun. So like there's trade-offs. Right. There. Like, you get to like come up with like a 100-word poem / information blurb for this beer bottle. And also you have to write a Facebook post for every single day for the next how many years? trade-off.
Well, Sarah, if you tell me that your future is in beer education, I certainly believe it, and I will sign up to be one of your early students. This has been a very, very enlightening conversation that could go on for hours.
Thank you.
For sure. This has been terrific. This was such a great time. Thank you so much for being here.
Sure. Call me back anytime.
Matt, who knew that we could be so educated about beer in such a short time?
I know. I'm pretty blown away. She is just a wealth of knowledge, and it really opens your eyes to what's all the different things that go along with the beer industry and all the qualifications that people might have that you might not even know. I mean, when she said that a lot of Cicerones work for distributors, I mean, the person that you see working for distributors who you just think is someone who likes beer, they could be a certified Cicerone. You just don't know.
I think if I ever get back into that beer judges class, I might be calling on Sarah to help tutor me or something like that. Give me some pointers. But that'll do it for this episode. You can follow Take a Shelfie on Instagram at Shelfie Podcast. You can visit us at ShelfiePodcast.com where we post our full episodes. There's also a comment section open where you can talk about the topic at hand. We also occasionally review beers, and we should get back onto that, Matt. We need to start getting some more reviews up because we've had a lot of good beer over the quarantine, and we need to share it with people.
Yeah, Jeff, I have a lot of pictures saved on my phone of beer ready to be reviewed. And I need to do that because my pictures are getting full and I need to clear some things.
All right, well, why don't you get to that? And in the meantime, we'll say goodbye to listeners for now. Until next time, I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.